We don't have a good situation back in Afghanistan. It's really horrible stuff over there.
Afghan refugees face Turkish public pressure. It's Thursday, September 23rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Afghans find new U.S. homes. Market sellers in Bangkok and Kabul face different hurdles. Americans getting back together. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Turkish authorities have detained hundreds of unregistered refugees, including many Afghans in Istanbul. The crackdown comes as President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's government faces growing public pressure to stop any surge of Afghans who arrive in Turkey following the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan. For VOA, Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul.
Authorities say they have detained hundreds of undocumented Afghans during sweeps in Istanbul that began last month. Those detained are taken to secure locations where their fate is unclear. The detentions are creating fear among Afghans, says this refugee who asked not to be identified.
They have been capturing Afghans without documents and they are deporting. People who do not have documents, they are so much concerned. They cannot work, they cannot go to somewhere. I request not to do that because we don't have a good situation back in Afghanistan. It's really horrible stuff over there.
Turkish authorities say they are only targeting those without documentation. But aid groups claim the government is not allowing Afghans to register for asylum.
But the Turkish governments are decided to not registering them. And also they are sending more power, more forces in the border, not letting more Afghan refugees to come. Or maybe if they are able to cross the border, they want to push back to Iran.
Turkey is already hosting nearly 4 million refugees who fled Syria's civil war. And the government says it cannot accept any more. Under the slogan, "The border is our honor," the main opposition party is calling on the government to secure the country's border to prevent a new influx of refugees.
It is creating some kind of tension because of the growing unemployment in Turkey, and many Turkish citizens who are unemployed start to see the problem as if the Syrians or the maybe in the future Afghanis are taking their positions.
Many refugees have settled in Istanbul's neighborhoods that are electoral strongholds of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Growing resentment towards refugees is a factor behind the shock defeat of Erdogan's party in the Istanbul mayoral election 2 years ago, ending its decades-long rule of the city. Turkish authorities say they deported more than 10,000 Afghans between January through July this year. With the Taliban back in power in Afghanistan, this refugee pleads for compassion.
Right now, my country is not in a position. It's not safe for anybody. So a request from Turkey government to help us. This is the situation. We need the help.
But many here expect the crackdown to continue. Dorian Jones of VOA News, Istanbul.
As Afghans resettle in many parts of the world, we invite you to read more by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia, Facebook, and our voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. U.S. and China unveil separate big steps to fight climate change. Earthquakes rattle Southeast Australia. Proposal to remove Chiang Kai-shek statue in Taiwan stirs controversy. Lawyer says U.S. journalist in Myanmar jail seems disheartened. Regional extremists energized by Taliban's takeover could pose threat to Pakistan, China interests. Expanded coverage of these stories and more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. Visit as well on Instagram, Twitter, and the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. Thousands of Afghans, after undergoing traumatic experiences leaving their home country, are relieved to be safe in the United States. But many find the U.S. immigration system confusing and hard to decipher on their own. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti takes a look at how evacuees are coping with starting the next chapter of their lives in a foreign country.
Bibi Sarah Kamal has gone from this position on board a C-17 out of Kabul to standing on her own in the U.S.
I want to continue my education. I want to work. I want to have my own life. For example, I want to have my own car.
But for 3 weeks, none of that has happened. When Kamal landed in the U.S., she was taken to a holding center near Dulles Airport, where she was granted a 2-year temporary stay as a parolee, not a refugee. Humanitarian parole is a way of bringing someone who is otherwise inadmissible to the U.S. for a temporary period because of an emergency. As Kamal understood it, being a parolee meant she could not resume the life she had in Afghanistan.
When I came here, they told me that you cannot continue your education or work. It is disappointing.
U.S. Homeland Security paperwork shows that actually is not the case. A parolee can apply for a work permit and eventually college, but the message is not reaching everyone. Andrew Arthur with the Center for Immigration Studies via Skype says the process has also been haphazard, with thousands of people entering at once.
I don't think the Biden administration itself really knows what those individuals can and cannot do. But, you know, as an immigration lawyer, if I were advising any of these people, I would tell them to apply for employment authorization because they have been paroled into the United States.
Immigration organizations that help process Afghans at Fort Lee in Virginia say it will take time for the new arrivals to figure out the rules. Krish Omaravin Raja is the president and CEO of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. She spoke to VOA on Skype.
I mean, look, you know, it's the way that any of us process information, right? We digest it in bits. And so if you throw a tsunami of information at people, we ingest it in more of a trickle. And so you got to continue that conversation so that people are informed about what rights and entitlements they have.
Omaravin Raja says part of the solution for better communication is federal dollars. The Biden administration is asking Congress for more than $6 billion for overseas processing, vetting, and resettling of Afghans. Back in Virginia, Kamal is learning about American culture and its electronic advances.
Turning the faucet on is like the electric system of a car that adjusts itself with a touch.
Meantime, the 23-year-old is adjusting to her new life, while others decide when or if she will ever be called Dr. Kamal. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Richmond, Virginia.
Now on VOA Asia, discovering coronavirus at markets in Bangkok and selling belongings just to survive in Kabul are the topics of this week's VOA Asia Business Scene with Chris Cascao.
For Bangkok market sellers, the armpit sweat soaking their T-shirts during the humid monsoon season may contain subtle signs of coronavirus infection. Local scientists have said Thai researchers are developing a sweat-based mobile virus detector and road-tested it on shopkeepers at a Bangkok food market last week. Charim Kulsing, assistant professor at the chemistry department of Chulalongkorn University.
From the chemical we found in the sweat, yeah, that we collect from the people who got the COVID infection, yeah, we found that some particular compounds are quite different significantly from the normal one and the one got the COVID.
Charin, who said the test was 95% accurate, hopes it might be rolled out as an affordable alternative to more expensive swab tests that require lab processing. Thailand, battling its third and worst COVID wave, reported 16,000 new cases last week, taking the total since the start of the pandemic to nearly 1.34 million. Kabul's flea markets are packed with belongings that desperate Afghans have sold at rock-bottom prices to fund their escape from Taliban rule, or just to pay for food. Plates, glasses, and kitchen appliances are piled high on makeshift tables at the outdoor bazaars. alongside 1990s television sets and old Singer sewing machines, while rolled-up carpets are propped up on secondhand sofas and beds. Since the Taliban stormed to power in mid-August, Afghans say job opportunities have dried up, and they are only allowed to withdraw $200 per week from their bank accounts, meaning cash is in short supply. Secondhand furniture salesman Mile.
Early on, people were trying to escape because of the security problems. They were scared of being killed or injured. We suggested they avoid trying to escape borders that are closed, because if they failed, they could become stuck and unable to do anything. If they sold all their possessions, they could be left with just an empty home.
Impoverished Afghanistan was already facing a drought, food shortages, and enormous pressure on its health service caused by the COVID-19 outbreak before the Taliban took control, sparking Western nations to clamp down on aid that props up the Afghan economy. The United Nations Development Program warned last week that the percentage of people living under the poverty line could rise from 72% to 97% by the middle of next year without rapid action. For Business Scene, I'm Chris Cascajo.
Despite rising infections from COVID-19's Delta variant, Americans are beginning to gather together at sporting events in large stadiums and at outdoor festivals. Saqibul Islam takes us to the Around the World Cultural Food Festival in Alexandria, Virginia, where thousands celebrated just getting outside and also international culture.
People from around the world came together at the Around the World Cultural Food Festival in Alexandria, Virginia. They came to enjoy ethnic food and cultural dance performances as mass public activities resume amid the Delta variant uptick.
It's really nice to come together to learn about each other's culture and also be together enjoying the food and also the dances.
People came out in big numbers after a difficult year enduring the pandemic restrictions. David Craig was happy to be out and about with his family.
Oh, I'm super excited. I'm glad this is coming back. I've missed this so much. This is crazy.
And Tammy Craig enjoyed getting a henna tattoo and the shopping.
Shopping, the food, we love trying different stuff, and this is gorgeous. Do you see this?
For food vendors and performers, it was an opportunity to revive their businesses hurt by the pandemic.
All the festivals and concerts were definitely off last year, so it was tough for us. We expected not everybody to come out because of COVID, but we're really happy to see that people are being social and being safe.
I'm very used to performing in a very big crowd, so it feels great to be able to perform again after so long and to such a big community.
Festival organizers say the aim of this year's gathering was not only to preserve and strengthen the many cultures in America, but also to help the hospitality and events industry thrive in a difficult time.
We are so happy and so grateful for everyone that participated and came here today to support the vendors, to support the performers, and we hope that we can actually defeat the coronavirus, and by next year we're gonna come together bigger and we're gonna really enjoy ourselves at the max.
The Around the World Cultural Food Festival is the largest such outdoor festival in Washington, D.C. region. Those attending were asked to stay socially distant and follow the guidelines by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Saqibul Islam, VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us at Instagram and YouTube. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Chris Cascajo. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.